Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, how do you do? Wow, and whoopity-doo. I can't believe it. A week from today, we'll know the outcome, folks. Will it be blue? Will it be red? Will it be new? Or will it be old? We'll find out a week from today. It will be interesting, don't you think? Hello, everybody out there.
Thanks.
And my co-host, how are you?
I'm wet. It's been raining for days.
Like hell.
It's raining. The water's up to my chin, and I'm standing on the Swede's shoulders.
Oh, my gosh. Is that right? Holy criminy. Well, the key to it is that you're still alive. You're still alive, and that's all that matters, don't you think?
I think so.
Huh?
I think so.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. A lot of crazy things have been going around in this world, I'll tell you. I must have got about, 12, 15 calls. 12 or 15 calls, ladies and gentlemen, you bet. And all about the same thing. Our fellow beast has been seen here, there, and everywhere. A lot of it's going on like you wouldn't believe right now. Coming down from Canada, upper states, Michigan area, Minnesota. It's been crazy as hell. Not so much on the West Coast now. It's really blowing my mind. But that's okay, you know. It's happening, and that's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? So it's getting even more due to two reasons. And the reason of it is it's this is migration period, folks. And I'll tell you, it's getting to the point that people are getting out more. Now, I'll tell you this. I was on the road 9 hours today. 9 hours. And I thought businesses were shut down. I thought that people were home. And, well, not here in California. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I'm going to tell you that it's crazier than hell. It blew me away. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Is this really happening? I was in a bottleneck, and I'm talking maybe, I don't know, around 5:15 in the evening, early afternoon, because it's starting to get dark early. I was in a parking lot on a freeway, five lanes, where the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, and I was doing 5. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, this can't be true, or can it? Businesses are supposed to be closed. People are doing business from home, but all these people are on the road. What's going on, my dear co-host Rocky? Talk to me. Tell me.
I don't know.
How is it by you?
We're just as busy as can be here. It's the restaurants just going crazy. Overnight, we usually have people standing out on the sidewalk waiting to get in. And it's been good here. Been good.
I got to tell you, it's a funny story. I want to tell everybody all over the world. There's a guy that has a Ukrainian restaurant. So he changes the name and he says, Georgian Cuisine. Georgian Cuisine. And he had nobody coming there. If he had two people in a week, he had a lot. He changes the name and puts Georgian Cuisine. And all of a sudden, everybody goes nuts, and they're mobbing this place. I'm saying, what the hell's going on? He says, thanks to the COVID epidemic, people are tired of eating pizza, tired of eating hamburgers, tired of eating Chinese food, tired of eating all the common stuff, and they thought this was Southern cooking. From Georgia. They didn't know that it was from the Ukraine of Russia. Georgia in Russia, okay? And, I mean, they tried it once, and, of course, forget about it. They never went back. But is that not a kick in the ass or what?
Well, you know, being from down south, I might have stopped in to see if they had any cornbread brown beans.
The mustard to go along with it. I know. To me, it was crazy as hell. And I met him at the bank the other day, and he says, I said, how's things going, man? Good? He says, thanks to this epidemic. And he says, that name change? He says, we're doing great numbers now. And I says, well, how are you getting any repeat business? He says, who cares? He says, they're coming in now. That's all I care about. I said, well, good for you. What's happening in your home front? Talk to me, besides you getting flooded out.
Oh, the restaurant has been truly busy. But I was thinking about it today, looking out the window at the backyard. Our pond is finally full, and I was thinking back to when me and the Swede was out on our four-wheelers. We got way down in there, got as far in as we could on our four-wheelers, and the rain was coming down. I mean, it was coming. It started coming down hard. Well, we were trying to walk back up to where our four-wheelers were, and we ended up sitting 7 days out on a hump out in the middle. The creek rose. It was coming down the hill, and it split just up above us, came all the way around us, and then came back together right below us. And so we were stuck on that. We were basically stuck on the island, and we had food with us, but we, you know, we stayed nice and warm and everything. Once we got a tent set up to where we could stay dry, ended up having to knock a damn coon in the head with a hatchet, and cooked it all night long. Next day we had coon, and we had, oh gosh, we ate good. I think we gained weight while we was waiting for the water to go down. Then finally it got down enough that the Swede decided that he was going to go ahead and make a break for it. And so we tied a rope on him, and he started swimming across. And he thought that I was tying the rope around him so I could save him, you know, if things got bad. But actually, I just tied the rope around him so if he drowned, I could pull him back up and see what all he had in his pockets and see if he had any money. And and then I was going to wait for it to go down a little bit more and use him for a kayak and pull on across. But he made it. He made it. So, did you hear all that, Swede?
That's not true. The reason he tied the rope on me, so I did. If I drowned, he was going to freaking eat me.
Source of protein.
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm hearing about, I guess this new hurricane's called Zeta, Z-E-T-A.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's one after the other here. I mean, it's going crazy as hell. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going to happen next? You know, there's the hurricanes and the blizzards and the tsunamis and every other damn thing. You know, we've gone through the worst heat wave we have ever had in the history. Of this great United States of America. Now, I don't know if you people know that or not, but it's a true story, okay? And I'll tell you this, I'm in shock. Now, is it global warming? How the hell do I know? I'm not a weatherman. I'm not a meteorologist. I'm just a human being, you know? And it bothers me to no end, and I'm thinking to myself, shit, what are we going to be doing here? Now, if this was the worst summer, what are we in for now when it comes to winter, Swede? Tell me. Are you there with us, Swede, or you taking a nip?
Yeah, I just want to take a piss. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Make sure you take a fart, too, while you're at it. So what do you think is going to happen next, brother?
I don't know, but I saw we're right here on the Middle Fork River, and it was just very bizarre today. Got 6 inches of water in the rain gauge in about 4 hours, and the river came up to where it covered 40 acres in my back pasture. I'm talking about a couple thousand yards, covered it in about 4 foot of water in about 20 minutes. And it went across and wiped my fence out, whole big thing, trees going down the way. We're talking about like a major flood instantaneously, And then as soon as it stopped raining, it went back down at about the same amount of time, but it stayed up for about 3 hours. So, yeah, I've never seen it do that. You know, I don't know. I don't know, Tom. But, you know, that was part of the Zeta thing is what, you know, we had that northern flow and outer band thing, and it just kept raining and kept raining and kept raining and kept raining. And it's been so dry up to this point, you can ask Rocky, it's been so dry you can't drive a nail in the ground. But right now I wouldn't take my truck off the road, you know, because it's going to bury up.
Yeah,
it's so wet.
My pond is full.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, sweet Rocky. I'm at the point now, I'm thinking to myself, really? Is this what it's all coming to? You know, and everybody's telling me, Tom, don't go out now. Wait a while, okay? And I said, okay, what are we waiting for? I said, we've been into snowstorms. We've been into blizzards. We've been in every damn thing, you know? They said, no, because let it settle down for a while. See where this whole thing's going. And I said to myself, well, maybe they know more than me. And I'll take it as it comes. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you this. I'm a little perplexed, because if we don't know what's going on, what do you think's going through the mind of these creatures right now, Rocky?
That's what I was just thinking. I mean, they I'm sure that they have is a pretty good handle on this kind of stuff, but, you know, you only have a handle on it if it stays, you know, if it's a, you know, if it's a repeat thing. But if it's, you know, if it's something that you, like I say, we usually don't have this kind of rain. I mean, it hasn't stopped. How long has it been? Days.
Well,
it's been raining.
We sure need
house.
Some of that here on the West Coast. We've had so many.
Yeah.
We've had more fires this year than I think anywhere. Okay, than anywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit. You know, Revelations all says everything's going to end by fire. Well, are we coming to the end? I don't know. I just don't know. Is Leo on the line?
Yes, he is, as a matter of fact.
Leo,
and
give us your take on the East Coast. Tell me.
How you doing, Godfather?
I'm well, son. Yourself?
Hey, I'm doing great when I hear your voice.
Tell me, what do you think? What's your take on this whole thing?
You know, I just think it's just, you know, the climate itself is just changing altogether. I think, you know, we just in it for a rude awakening of the way things are moving, and the way things are going on with the wildfires on the West Coast and out here in North Carolina. You know, we're busy too out here. We're busy as a one-legged man in the ass-kicking contest with a lot of things that's going on. You know, when the blunt of the storms hit the coast of the Gulf Coast, you know, it takes a curve and comes back into North Carolina. So I just think it's climate change. I really don't know. It's just a way of trying to predict what's going on. It's just, you can't do it. Because here in North Carolina, you know, we have some days, you know, in November and December, you know, it could be colder than a whale digger's ass, and then the next day it's like 90 degrees like it is in Jamaica. And I mean, it's just baffling. I really don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, you know. I just think we at a point now, we just have to deal with, you know, whatever is handed to us and move forward. But be honest with you, Godfather, I don't know how to take this the way things
and
are going.
You know
on.
What I tend to believe and agree with you on some of the stuff you're talking about. Here's the thing I don't understand. We are human beings, and we're supposed to be thinkers and know what this is all about. I can't give you an intelligent answer. Now, if I tell you that, what do you think's happening with these creatures, and what do you think they're thinking? And hold it, time out. In, what is it, one, two, three, in 4 days, the clock goes back an hour. Okay, It's starting to get early, dark early now, as we all know it. So what do you think's going through these creatures' minds?
Well, you know, one thing I think is going through these creatures' mind is one thing. These creatures have been around longer than we have. And so when you take a person that's been in a certain environment longer than another person, that person is going to adapt to that environment. It's going to know more than another person in that environment. So I think these creatures have been here longer than we have. They've been here adapting to the environment. And I think the only thing that's going to their mind is they're wondering what's going on, but they're adapting to the environment better than we are. That's what I think is going on. And I think what they're doing, they're migrating to higher ground. They're much smarter than we are because they live in the wilderness in these areas. And I just think they're adapting to it better than we are, and they're smarter than we are.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, and you're an intelligent dude, and I don't normally tell people they're intelligent because most people are stupid. But if you think about the logic of what you just said, it has a lot of logic and truth in it, and let me tell you why. They're all going to higher ground. Just like, look at Louisiana. Hey, they had Katrina. When those levees broke, what happened? Friggin' New Orleans flooded up. Everything else flooded up. They took all those people, send them out to Texas. They send them here. They send them there. And a lot of them people never came back. And why? And everybody said, oh, well, it's a God-made situation. Now insurances don't take care of it. Oh, well, wait a minute. We got FEMA. Well, yeah. They all have some kind of compensation, but it's not all. And the poor bastard that had those houses, they're sunk into a mortgage, even though if they paid it, to try to make it back and build again, if that's if they want to live in that type of crap. And we were there when Katrina hit. A lot of us guys came through there. We had dinner there after the third or fourth day. The smell, you have no idea, was horrible, just horrible. You could see where the water level was. And the houses and the businesses. Our hearts went out to those folks. But you're right. Higher ground, folks. Higher ground. They said California's going to fall off into the ocean because we got earthquakes. Okay, far be it. Let it fall into the ocean. So what does that mean? Higher ground. Now, the thing about it is, who's that guy that had all those wives and said it's good you can have 20 wives at a time if you can service them all? Bring them young. You said, bring them young. Come on. What's that town? What's that state over there?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
That's it. Okay? I'm thinking to myself, maybe he was right. Maybe he knows something that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have catastrophic, you know, weather things up there? I know it snows a lot. I know it gets cold in the winter. Do we have to worry about hurricanes over there?
Nope.
Do we have to worry about tsunamis? Do we have to worry about earthquakes over there? I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Interesting
hey,
theory,
Tom?
Though. It really is.
Tom?
Who's this?
Tom, let me interject something. Could
Go
I
ahead.
Interject something, Tom?
Please.
Yeah, I was thinking, we've talked about this just previously, and I wanted to bring it up just because I know that you want to talk about it, Tom, and I know that you can bring it. You know, you talked about that. I was thinking about Tiger down there in Florida, your buddy.
Yeah.
You know, he used to say about that stuff back when I was just a young guy in the Boy Scouts, and he would talk about the Bigfoot issue. Like you said, they put their houses up on stilts.
Canopies, you bet. Canopies out in the swamp.
Yeah, they'd be on pools. It didn't matter where the water rose. But he said if you ever, whenever the water rose in the springtime, whenever or in the late winter when the water raises in the Everglades, he said you want to watch out about the hammocks or the high ground because that's where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he used to tell us.
You know, and I forget that. God rest his soul. Bobby Tiger, he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the Swede is. And he was with the Seminole Indians. They used to call him the alligator wrestling fool. He was a Seminole Indian. He lost some of his fingers because he snapped off by the alligators over there. But one of the bravest men I ever met in my life. And boy, I'll tell you, he was talented as hell. But you're exactly right, because when he took us out there into those canopies out there in the swamp, they were on stilts, and they had they didn't have beds. They had, like you said, these hammocks, and they were off the ground. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand what it's like living there, okay? You got these damn alligators, you got them water moccasins, and you got every other damn thing ready to bite and eat your ass up. And that was the only time ever, as soon as I got out of the rig, I got bit up, because me and the skeeters don't get along. Bad enough that in Texas, I'm the chiggers. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Ugh. They just love my blood. 363 bites I got. Unbelievable. I was in the hospital for 3 days.
You know, Godfather, I got a question for you.
Sure.
This is Leo. And I told Rocky earlier, it's ironic that you're talking about these creatures. You and I are discussing the fact that these creatures are going to higher ground. You know, I've looked online. I do a lot of surfing as I try to bring guests to the show. And one of the things that I ran across, and I was looking at the number of sightings that's in the upper Midwest, and it brought me back to one of your chilling movies. And this is one of my favorite movies that you have, that I can't wait till it go to Tubi TV, and it's going to be a knockout, and that's Bigfoot Lives 3. And I think about when you start talking about the like the Fort Apache, and you start talking about the Beast of Bray Road, you know, when you look at these storms, I think you're going to start seeing more and more sightings, you know, in Wisconsin and Arizona. And when you start talking about the Holly Hill Monster and the DuPont Monster in Bigfoot 3, you're going to start seeing more sightings in these areas, because these creatures are going to start migrating that way. I can tell you that now.
You know, it's amazing that you brought that up. And we hear very little about Bigfoot Lives 3. But you know what? If people were smart enough to have Bigfoot Lives 1 and 2, they should get Bigfoot Lives 3, because this one has a compilation of places that have been talked about, and we were first on the scene. Now, when you talked about Holy Hill and you talked about the DuPont Monster and all that, these are historic institutions, folks. These are historic places where things happened, and we were the first ones on the scene, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was phenomenal. You know, the reason why I remember, because I was there. You know, we had the press out there and the TV out there, and we were the first ones on there. And you'll see that live in these movies. I remember the one story, and I think it is in Bigfoot Lives 3, because it was around the area of Holy Hill, where that the reason why they call it Holy Hill, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it was in it was either Wisconsin or Minnesota, and on top of this hill was this big church. And you could see the steeple, you could see the bell, and you could see the cross. And the guy from the DNR who picked up all the dead deer on the road, they were all getting killed. One night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he gets a call where there was a bunch, and he went to go to this one. As he goes to take his winch to lift it up into his rig, here's a Bigfoot jump up into the rig and took the body out. And he took the winch with him. And this comes from the guy that works for the state, a contractor from DNR, and you hear it first on our show. You heard it first in our movie. And I got to tell you a story. When I was there at Ghost of Bray, what was that, Bray Road?
Yes, sir, the Beast of Bray Road.
Okay, that was in Wisconsin also, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Everybody didn't go down that road because they were scared of what was happening at midnight or past dark. And we were there. We had the TV channels with us. And then there was some woman who had a bunch of books on that. And she was on the show a couple of times with us. I forget her name. She did a couple of deals on the Beast of Bray Road. And we were out there, and we had the people who actually saw the creature. And we were out there, and I think what happened was one night, They saw this thing go across the road, and it was pretty damn big. I think it may be even in the movie. I'm not sure because, you know, I've done so many of them.
It
and
is.
I'm waiting for the new session, The Monsters, Myths, and Mystery, coming out. It's going to be a segment of four, and I understand it's a Lollapalooza, so look forward to that, folks, coming out. It's going to be pretty big. But you know you're right, Leo. You're right. So these places like Minnesota, these places like Wisconsin, especially up the Upper Peninsula, folks, you know, that area, yeah, listen, people say, you want to get lost? You get to the Upper Peninsula. They got Leech Lake up there. That's the only place I knew that they got skeeters in the summertime that'll lift your ass up and fly you away, okay? We used to have these nets, body suits, to keep the damn shit off of us. That's how bad it was. I forget that year it was, but it happened to us. And then it's the one up there by he's pretty close up there to the border, folks. That's by the Cree Nation. That's up there in Minnesota. Prairie something. I forget what it was. But it just like in the DuPont monster. And DuPont was a very famous guy during the war. It's not this wasn't the DuPont TV. It was the DuPont munitions plant.
Mm-hmm,
and there was action
mm-hmm.
going on over there. So you're triggering things off in my head.
Yeah.
Happened years and years ago, but
yeah.
I still remember them because they meant something to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you know, this Bigfoot 3 is a most prevalent.
We lost you there for a minute. Leo?
Hey, Tom, that DuPont was IMR
now,
powder, improved military powder.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
But Bigfoot 3 is most prevalent in a lot of the Bigfoot movies, In Search of a Bigfoot, is because it brings out a lot of people who, when Tom did his research, a lot of these people had validated sightings and validated research, just like Funk's Grove. That was another one. Funk's
my
Grove.
God.
Funk's Grove.
That was in Illinois.
That's correct.
Oh, my God. You're bringing up memories like I can't believe.
That's correct.
So that's all in Bigfoot Lives 3, Leo?
Yes, sir, it is. I got all the movies. I got every last one of them. And look, I watch them so much, everybody get pissed off when they look into the DVD player still in there.
I forgot all about that, yeah?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Funk's Grove is in Illinois, and it wasn't far from that college town. There was an area there in this Funk's Grove where they had maple syrup coming out of these maple trees.
That's correct. That's
and
correct.
These creatures would come in and they'd lick that stuff up like it's, you know, like it's butter. And, oh, my God, you're bringing back memories to me right now. I got chills because I remember that we were out there twice during the summer. Then we went back in the wintertime when it was snowing.
That's correct.
There were sightings all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Jesus. It blows my mind that people are, all you have to do is trigger me off on, give me a key word, boom, it's happening. I remember. And I keep remembering that Bigfoot Lives 3 has so much in there to offer to people. People
exactly.
don't understand it, you know?
Exactly. And if you go to Bigfoot Lives 3, you're going to see the most outstanding and the most prevalent research you ever want to see. Just like the one in Fort Apache, the Fort Apache Reservation, when you did the interview with some of the elders and they were telling you about some of the tracks they seen, some of the way the positioning of deer caucus, the way it was. And I think you had a special reporter that was up there in the area. I think it was the White Mountains.
Yeah. You're talking about Arizona.
Exactly.
And you're talking about we had the sergeant of detectors out there with us. They're the ones that called us.
Exactly.
Because what happened, there was fires up in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and they had these creatures coming down into the res,
exactly.
looking at people's windows, knocking on their windows. We had a police car, officer in a police car, and one of these creatures are running around 25 miles an hour, knocking on the damn police woman's door, the car, the black
exactly.
and white. She's scared.
Exactly.
She was scared shitless.
Exactly.
Oh, and then they used to call them stink bugs. I'll never forget it because they said they smelt like stink bugs. I says, well, these things don't wash like you and I do. They don't take baths. And that's the reason why, you know. And my God, and that was the White Mountain Apache.
Exactly. And I think in one of those scenes, you had a special reporter. They went to the White Mountains that particular day, and one of these creatures was caught on film in Bigfoot 3. So, folks, you can see it in Bigfoot 3. One of these creatures was caught chasing the elk down the backside of the mountain. And
That was in Christmas Tree Mountain.
Exactly
where it was. You know, I got to tell you a story about that. We were up so high in elevation, and the moose up there and the elk, they have lotteries where people would pay $25,000 to get in the lottery to go up there hunting. And they only had 25 tags. But we had permission from the chief to go there hunting anytime we wanted, okay? Whether it be mountain lion, whether it be elk, whether it be deer, anything, okay? That's how tight we were there. And then all our competitors tried to get in, and they couldn't. But the guy you're talking about was the guy from Arizona TV. He did a hell of a piece. Chris something or another. Great guy. He did two or three pieces on us up there. He did that one. He did the one on Roger Peterson up there with the picture glyphs in the mountains up there where he had his sighting. You know, I forgot all about this. My God, you got a hell of a memory. You got a hell of a memory, Leo. No, it's for true. Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking about it today while I was caught up 9 hours in that traffic. Is Doyle on the phone with us tonight?
No, sir. He has not called in.
Because I got to tell you a story. Him and TJ, my son, they were in those caves down there in Kentucky and in that area, and they came across some unbelievable stuff. And I wanted him to tell us a story tonight if he was out there. There's a thing up in Northern California, folks. It's called, there was spelunkers. I don't know if you know what a spelunker is. A spelunker is a guy that goes out down into caves. They explore caves. Well, they got the Marble Mountains up there. That's where Bob Schmalzbeck used to be. And this guy goes into caves, unknown caves, and he names them. And he named this the Bigfoot Mountain Cave because it was in the Marble Mountains. It was in Northern California. And then there was a cave that went through the top of the mountain into Oregon, in which some doctor later on named it something else. And became very famous because this is where the creatures used to go to hide and stay, where people would not be able to get to. See, it was pretty phenomenal stuff. And you know, when I'm thinking about this and how, you know, you got to think about it this way, folks. Here I am, no different than you are. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I eat a little bit more than other people because I can afford to do that, and I enjoy my food. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. I have a yearning to see what's on the other side of the mountain. I have a yearning to find out if there's something out there that's unknown, why in the hell haven't we found it? How come nobody's looking for it? Or if they are, how come that's... they're not sharing their knowledge with us, you know? It's just like back in the way days in the jungle. Who was that guy used to say something, I presume? Way back.
Dr. Livingston, I presume.
Dr. Livingston, I presume, okay?
That's him.
And these
That's
guys are out hunting in suits and ties and hats on and boots. I'm thinking to myself, it's got to be 125 degrees out there. Humidity's got to be 102. okay? They're going through swamps and all kind. If we think we got mosquitoes and bugs and all that shit, what the hell were they going through? But this was, they were all had the yearning to find out about the unknown. And you know what? There's a little bit of that in every one of us, folks. I bet you out there listening tonight probably think, I wonder what the hell's out in that mountain we just passed. Is there some kind of unknown creature that we don't know of? They're always finding stuff out there in the ocean that they never found before. Come on, think about it. I just saw something the other day on TV. There was this thing out in a lake somewhere. They're trying to say it was the Nessie, but the version here. And they took these pictures. They took a picture of this mermaid thing. I was shocked. And I'm talking about certified PhDs, post hole diggers, folks, that have paid a ton of dough to go out there and see that oil rigs out there in the ocean. And they got these submersibles. And here it is, one of these creatures came up to the window as the guy's got five cameras on him, and they see this thing that looked like a mermaid. And our country and our government knows about this.
Godfather, we have one here in North Carolina, and I didn't know this until I actually started doing research with the Sasquatch. In Lake Norman, we have a sea monster called Normie. You can go on the Lake Norman website of Lake Norman in North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte, and it's called Normie, and it's a sea creature, similar to Loch Ness.
Well, they're all getting on the bandwagon, aren't they? One reason or another, they're getting on the bandwagon. And the key to this whole thing is because something's happening. So I'm going to go back to what we talked about 20 minutes ago. Is it the global warming? Is it the temperature change, folks, that's sparking all this stuff going on? I don't know, but it's not normal what we've experienced, is it? Is it normal what we're experiencing now? Is it normal of the unrest of our human beings and our own species protesting the way we are, tearing things up, looting, killing? You know, people work all their lives for what they do, folks. And now I heard that Philadelphia just yesterday, people are on the warpath again. Is that true? Have you guys heard about it?
Yep.
I heard about it.
I heard a little bit of it, yeah.
You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. So then everybody tells me about this Antifa. So what do I do? I said, well, does anybody know what Antifa means? So like a dummy, I go to Google and I put it in there, antifa.com. And guess what comes up, folks? Anybody willing to guess?
Antifa.
Antifa.com. Do it and see what comes up.
No, I'm sure it's disturbing.
Well, it shows Biden and Kamala.
Wow.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We need your help to hit our end of the month goal, looking for money. I didn't put it in here. Somebody did. Antifa.com goes right to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So I don't know. Who is this Antifa? You tell me.
I don't know. I just know that it's a George Soros funded thing.
I can't spell Antifa, so I'm not going to even comment on it.
Antifa.com. That's all you need to do. Antifa.com. Put it in your phone, put it in your desktop, put it in your laptop, put it wherever you want to put it, and you're going to freak out. So now I'm thinking to myself, who's paying for this? Who's doing this? And then I heard just two cops were killed. Is that true? Two cops were killed in Philadelphia yesterday, Leo?
I didn't hear that. I knew two cops had an interaction with a domestic situation where a subject had a knife and came at them, and they had to go ahead and de-escalate the situation by deadly force, which that's understandable. But I didn't hear anything about any cops getting killed, unless that's something new.
Well, you know what? While we're talking, Sweet, why don't you talk a minute there with you, all three of you guys, let everybody know what's happening there, and I'm going to find out myself right now.
Well, I was going to hit Tom up about,
let's not forget about Falk, Arkansas. That's a great old.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was on the internet today trying to locate Bobby Ford.
Right. We talked about that earlier, didn't we, Rock?
Yeah, I was on there today trying to locate him, but I haven't done it yet. And I told Leo that if there was any possible way that
that would be a great guest.
That's what I said. Man, you needed to make a drive down by Falk and see if we can find any of those people and see if we can get them on the show.
Man, that's something. Leo, are you familiar? I guess you are, surely.
Yes, sir. Me and Rock was had a heavy conversation last night, and I did tell him through my research, I was looking up some of the movies that I had, and I'm going to tell you, you know, and I think the Godfather would be amazed. I got all of his movies. I got every movie that you can think of when it's dealing with Sasquatch, and one of the ones I got is Boggy Creek. And one thing I did look back on, I know that the sheriff that actually dealt with the footprints that was found outside of a farm, I know he's passed away, but I think his son or his grandson is the sheriff now of that county. And when Rocky and I was talking, that's why I asked Rocky, what is that county that Boggy Creek is in? And I think we can go back and find some of the relatives of the people that were involved in this film, which I got a list of them. And Rocky, to be exact, I started on that list so I can send it to you and Swede via text or via email so you guys can have it. And you can go and contact some of these people. Some of those people are still alive.
That's awesome. You know, when I was a young man in high school when all that was going on, and I'd already been to South Florida, you know, and I was like Bobby Tiger and all that stuff, and had a little bit of Bigfoot experience. I never know anything about Tom, but we both share the knowledge of that paperback book. It had a little cabin on it. Way back when in the 70s, early 70s, I was just a young man, and had a little paperback book, and it talked about stuff that went on in Oregon. But Bobby's thing down there, and then to come to Arkansas, I left South Florida and came to Arkansas, and here was Boggy Creek, you know, legend Boggy Creek. And I was like, oh, man, it's following me around, you know. It was such a cool deal. But, I would love to interview some of those people. It would be it would be a good thing, wouldn't it, Rocky? It'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, 2 weeks. The movie came after the movie hit here in Fayetteville. 2 weeks later, I was in Falk, and because I was wanting to check this out, but I was a long ways from being the only one there. It was quite crowded at the time.
Right.
And Foreman's not that far from Falk.
Well, you know, one of the pictures that I sent TJ, and I think TJ, he might still have it on his cell phone. I think he got a new cell phone, is a picture of me when I had Bigfoot bedroom shoes. And I still got them. They still at my parents' home up in the building, and they were yellow with the black fuzz on the outside of. But anyways, you know, the other day, my niece who has went out with me with a couple of expeditions in the Uwari Forest, and they call her the Sheepfooter. She was over my house the other day, and her mother told us, "Yeah, said your uncle's always been he's always been in, interested in Bigfoot and doing Bigfoot research. And I say that to say this, you know, these creatures have always been in existence for a long time, and everybody's been fascinated with these creatures. And the fascination itself should tell you alone that it's something about these creatures. And you look at Tom Biscardi, all the research he's done for over 50 years and other researchers have done for over 50 years. It's got to be something to it. It's got to be something to it. And one of the first movies I've seen, other than seeing the Patterson Gimlin film, which we know that was fake, one of the things that really intrigued me was The Legend of Boggy Creek. That was the one of the foremost movies, other than watching The Searching for Bigfoot, Tom Biscardi, where Bigfoot Lives 1, 2, and 3, and other movies he's done, such as Brutal Bigfoot.
Where can you get that, by the way, and see it for free?
Well, I'll tell you what I did, Tom. One day I went on a place called Tubit TV. Folks, if you go on to Tubit TV, that's T-U-B-I-TV, Tubit TV, and you can watch Brutal Bigfoot for free. And I'm going to tell you what, get you a bucket of popcorn, sit on your sofa, and go to Tubit TV and watch Brutal Bigfoot for free, and you can watch the Godfather himself in action in Brutal Bigfoot.
You know, I'm going to tell you guys something. I was looking this stuff up with Philadelphia. Same old bullshit, same old routine. Doesn't even warrant us to talk about it. But you talk about Boggy Creek. Okay, Smokey was still alive. He died a couple, 3 years ago. Great, great guy. He wrote the book on it. He was in the movie. And Charles Pierce, remember that name. You guys will go on Google and find out. He's the one that made the movie, used the cast from the school. It cost him about...
His daughter's got the remake on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
well, Charlie, is he alive or is he dead?
He's dead.
Okay. All right. So let me tell you a story. He had himself an Indian girlfriend. Oh, my God, she was gorgeous. And she was in one of the movies that he made, had to do with Indians. He was promoting it. I'll never forget. It was pretty nice. And I'm trying to think of he made me an offer because he was hooked up with the guy that had a bunch of theaters in the South who was doing all the distributors. That's where he wanted to run Bigfoot Lives or The Legend of Bigfoot with me and Ivan. I'll never forget it. And he told us the whole story about the movie and how it all came about. And he made $125 million, you know, on a production that only cost $60,000. And it was all rented stuff
right.
From the AV department of the high school. You know, I got to tell you something. I met all these people, and they all know me. I'm the only one still alive. You know, the asshole that wouldn't let us in up there that lived around Hieronymus off right down the street from him. What's that guy's name that used to run with Patterson?
Gimlin,
yeah. I'm thinking to myself, really? What did he see? He saw one thing, and they made it all up, okay? And it was over there in Northern Cal, and he's up there in Washington. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, great. It's going down in history. People really don't – there's so many people that don't know the real truth. But if they bought the hoax of the century, they would know all about it. And someday they will. Somebody will probably say, okay, it isn't the Holy Grail. And when they put two and two together and they see how what we did in our movie and how we connected the dots to make it all happen. But when I think about how long I've been doing this stuff and the people that I've met down the line, and I'm talking about going down to Tom Slick, Ivan T. Sanderson. I'll give you some goddamn names. This was out when I was 24 years old, folks, about 48 years ago. Go Google the name Ivan T. Sanderson. Go Google the name Tom Slick.
Bobby Tiger.
Go Google the name of the only anthropologist that I thought gave weight to this whole damn thing. He was up there in Pullman, Washington University. Got his name now already. But I'll never forget when I drove 14 hours straight to go meet with him while he was drinking his wine. He was showing me all his specimens. And he says to me, you know what? You're a cantankerous young man, and I love your tenacity to find out what's going on in this world. And he says, you got my backing. And the guy that's up in Idaho, he supposedly took his place, that he doesn't like me. I forget his name. Who's the anthropologist up there?
Gosh, saw him just the other day.
And he's
TV.
An associate anthropologist, by the way. He's not full blown.
I can't think.
But he
of
didn't like because we call it, you know, we call it like it is, and apparently he doesn't like our analogy. But here's a guy that took our stuff from Minnesota, from our guy Bob up there, and gave him two of his prints, but took Bob's print, and the prints that he gave Bob were fake. They had dowels put in as toes. You ask Bob Schmalzbach that deal, he'll tell you. The whole thing is, you know, there's a lot of phonies out there. They all ride the crest, and they all ride your shirt tails. You know what? I'm proud of you guys because you're taking it and moving it around with each other, and you're thinking on your own. Leo, I'm proud of you, sweetie. I'm proud of you. And you know what, Rocky? I'm going to give you the biggest star you ever had. And thank you for start looking now on the internet, doing things, because you're broadening your satori, besides thinking about hunting and killing things. I'm going to go on with the rest of the show to you. I'm going to have a hell of a big announcement to make next week, folks. You better listen in, because I got something for you that's going to knock you off your seats. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations. Thank you guys for all your participation.
Going to commercial. If I would have hit the right button, I was going to a commercial.
We got 3 minutes, Rocky. We can go ahead and end up with it.
Well, I don't know what's going on with my computer here.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Instead of going to a commercial, everybody needs to go to Searching for Bigfoot .com.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the store. Lots of stuff. Lots of cool stuff. Belt buckles. I guess they still got belt buckles. They got
yes,
caps.
Sir.
Yeah,
they got beanies. They got t-shirts. They've got coffee cups. They've got all kinds of stuff. And y'all, everybody needs to get some of them. Then you'll be cool like us.
That's right. I got to tell you, my baby looks good in the Bigfoot t-shirt.
There you go.
Hey.
look, it's TMI there, sweet TMI. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Coming on the 11th of November, we're going to have Yowie Dan from all the way from Australia. He's going to be talking about some sounds that we're going to go ahead and present on Searching for Bigfoot. You folks are going to see it right here. You're going to hear it right here on Searching for Bigfoot. Yowie Dan all the way from Australia about the Yowie. And also go to Tubit TV. Let me tell you again, TUBITV. And look at Brutal Bigfoot. And also look forward to seeing a lot of Tom Biscardi's movies on Tubit TV. Rocky, I love you and Sweet. You're my brothers from another mother. Hey, y'all the best.
That's all I'll say.
You.
Good night to Tom. Thanks for having us on. All of our listeners, thanks for being on and listening. Leo, thank you. Sweet, couldn't do it without you.
You're welcome.
And next time the fence washes out, give me a holler, and I'll come out and help you as best I can.
There you go.
My knee's doing good, and I got rubber boots. It's all good.
Hey, there you go. Marco Bill, hey, man, I love you up in heaven, Marco Bill. Keep shining down on us, man, and keep us moving on with this Bigfoot research, baby.
There you go.
And say a prayer. Say a prayer for Tom's sister, Teresa.
Love you, brothers. Y'all take care. Good night.
All right.
Take care.
Good night, everybody. It was a good show. Thank you.
Once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. When you brought them together, reason for the fact.
Oops.